Let's open this morning with prayer. Gracious Father, this morning we pray that you would speak a word to us, Lord. That you would stir up our spirits. That you would let us feel your presence. Father, we thank you for being in our midst. I pray this morning that you would remove me and that you would speak through me. Father, I pray that the congregation would hear your word with open ears and open hearts. Just do your work and have your will with us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, there are no scriptures on the screen. My bad. I didn't get them to the techies in time. And there's a bunch of them. So just if you got your bulletin, there's spots in there for notes. You can jot them down. There's going to be several. So that's my disclaimer. I will read to you, though, so you don't have to worry about trying to follow along with me, because we're going to be in the Old Testament a little bit, New Testament a little bit. We're bouncing around, okay? So I will read to you today. How many of you guys watched the weather yesterday? Anybody know it was supposed to snow? I had no idea. Every morning I get up, I check my phone, look for the weather, right? I want to know the temperature, the wind speed, and direction. Why? Because I like to shoot deer, right? That's what matters to me. Am I going to freeze to death, and will they smell me before they get to me? Those are my two things that I want to know. I did not even fathom snow on a Sunday morning, but it's here. And so I was thinking, what are some things that affect the weather or the Yeah, the weather. What are some things that affect the weather? And one of the big things is the atmosphere. Do you guys know that? You're in science class now. The atmosphere directly affects the weather outside. And I would tell you that the atmosphere inside has an effect on you. Okay? Does that make sense so far? The atmosphere is something very, very important. And as we go through this this sermon series, we're going to talk about a new atmosphere. Okay? We're going to talk about creating a new atmosphere. So I'm going to read to you from 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good. His love endures forever." Did we sing that today? Yes. We did, didn't we? His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. So already what I want you to hear is there was an atmosphere of praise. There was an atmosphere of worship, of kind of an expectation. As we come to church on Sunday mornings, we bring with us an atmosphere. We bring an atmosphere with us to another atmosphere, if that makes sense, okay? If you come to my meeting, or I'll call it Brad's meeting, so he gets in trouble. If you come to Brad's meeting after church, you will hear this phrase: "The sermon starts in the parking lot." Okay? Now let me elaborate just a little bit. As you pull into the church, let's say it is snowing, and it is unplowed, and there is trash just blowing all over the place. You already in your mind kind of have an idea about what's going to be inside this church, don't you? Whatever the atmosphere is kind of what you feel. And then, so you park your car and you're like, all right, I'm going to give it a chance. And then you walk in, no one greets you. You hear nothing but silence. There's people in small groups talking to one another, but they don't even pay you any attention. You find a seat because there's a couple. You sit down and wait to be entertained. That, I would say, is going to be a stormy atmosphere. Okay? That's going to be an issue. And I would tell you that's kind of, this wasn't going to be a pick on you sermon, that's kind of what happens. Right? We just kind of fall into the routines where we walk in the doors, we know our friends, we know our people, we go and say, hey, you know, I am always busy on Sunday morning. If I say hey to you, and or if I don't, I'm sorry. I'm going to be better at that. I'm going to spend more time with you instead of, hey, as I go past you, right? Because what's important is not what happens necessarily up here on stage. We're not here to entertain you. We're here to be together, to do life with one another. And if the atmosphere isn't right and isn't set, there's going to be something off. So let's say, we'll reverse it. Let's do this. You walk in, someone says, hello, good morning. I am so glad to see you. Welcome to church. And they say it with a smile on their face. And they don't say, I have to greet today. And they go and they stand there and they greet today. Morning. Here's the bulletin. Go sit down. No. Good morning. So glad to see you, right? Because are you glad to see each other? I'm happy to see all of you. I am. I'm so happy to see all of you here. I miss you guys all week. That's how we should greet one another, right? I've missed you. I've longed to be with you in your presence. So then you come in, you're like, hey, good to see you. How was your week? Here's your bulletin. Hey, we'll talk later, okay? Go find a seat, or if you need help, I'll show you one. You'd have to be blind to miss this. Anyhow, right? Already that changes kind of how you are when you come into church. You're like, hey, these people are happy I'm here. I'm happy I'm here. Because I can tell you there are some people that get drugged through those doors. I was one of them. I was one of those people when I came to church. I didn't literally get drugged, but I was guilted and guilted and guilted until I walked in the church door, right? And the first person I saw was like, Nathan! Oh my gosh, I am so happy to see you. I didn't tell them, but that changed me. They were happy that I was there. Right? So now let's say the atmosphere is good in here, but then you come in with kind of your bad whatever. You know, you just yelled at your kids because they didn't shut up in the car and they didn't buckle their seats or whatever happens on your 10-minute trip or however far you travel to church. And you've got this kind of this blah on you. That can affect those around you. Right? So as we come to church and we come together in each other's presence, know this, you're not just in each other's presence. God is here. We come to God on Sunday morning. We come to His house, and sometimes we come in angry or upset or mad or sad. Anything else that rhymes with that? I'm not Dr. Seuss. But I'm serious. You know, does that make sense? You can do this if it does. This is a very interactive church this morning. So the atmosphere is completely important. And what Brad and I have been doing has been trying to create an atmosphere for our church, for our worship service. You will notice when you come in, very soon there will be someone there with a smile on their face. Big smile. Doesn't look like they got baptized in pickle juice, but they will have smiles. And they will say, good morning. How are you? There will be music playing because there won't be awkward silence because this gets really shh. That's quiet. Right? It's all about just the little things. Okay? So what we've been trying to do is trying to offer God excellence in everything that we do on Sunday morning. We've been trying to offer excellence through the praise, through the sermons, through everything, every little aspect, every little detail. The bathrooms are clean, right? Bathrooms are clean. I don't use these ones. I got my own private one. I'm teasing. I'm teasing. All right. So what I want you to hear is let's have no spiritual hindrances. We all have seasons where we're pressed on every side, right? And we let our problems and our situations that we're dealing with hinder our spirit. But when that happens, we can't really have the true worship. I'm going to read this again. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, his mercy endures forever." Then the house was filled with a cloud, and even the house of the Lord. Let's fill this house of the Lord with a cloud, with our worship, with our atmosphere that we create. Come to church with your mind on worship. Philippians 4:6, this is Paul writing. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." We need to learn to give our cares to the Lord, right? Let Him fight our battles for us. And I'll piggyback on what Paul was saying to you during the devotions. Take what you've got and give it to God. And just be thankful for what you've got. And it's really hard to be thankful when you got a handful of yucky stuff. But He'll take it. He'll take it away from you. Give it to Him. And then in the same token, when you are having the best time of your life, give Him the praise and the joy for it. And just find thanksgiving in the small things. Just be thankful you were able to get out of bed this morning because someone else wasn't. Be thankful you were able to come to church this morning because someone else wasn't. You know, we have a lot of people that are sick and that are at home right now. But you're not, and you're here. Let's just be in the moment. All right? And then 1 Peter 5:6-7, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." Because He cares for you. This life can be distracting. This life can cause pain. This life can cause joy. Don't let it distract you from praising our Lord with thanksgiving. We need to come without anger or resentment, without fear or entanglement. We need to come without any concern except for the things that concern our great and mighty God. Next, I would tell you about atmosphere. There are no business as usual services. Okay? I understand we have to have a flow. Okay? It has to be fluid. We're working on it, and it's getting really, really good. So there's a praise for what we've been doing. But don't come here and think, okay, I'm going to walk in, sit down, two songs. I've got to avoid my neighbor because he's going to make me talk to him. One more song. There's going to be an offering. There's going to be communion. He's going to get up and talk. Then we're going to get down. We're going to sing, and I'm going to leave. Okay? Yes, that's our flow. That's our business structure. That's how we structure our praise and worship. But that is not what we do. Okay? What we do is we worship. What we do is we praise. There's no business as normal. If I announce to you today, "Hey, next Sunday we're going to have a guest speaker. You all need to be here. Jesus is coming. Jesus, for real, Jesus will be here next Sunday." Would you get here early? Would you sit in the front row? Would you drag all your lost family members with you? Like, "No, for real, you need to come to church. Jesus is going to be there." Would you do that? You want to know a secret? He's here. He's here right now. There is no business as usual. We are in the presence of our Lord. Our Savior is here with us right now. We can't just treat it as something we do because that's what Christians do. Okay? Or that's what we do on Sundays. We go there, then we go to lunch, and we go about our week. All right? But I would tell you what, people would be here early. Rows would be filled all the way up to the kneelers. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, then I am in the midst of them." there's more than two or three of you here, and we're here in His name, He is in our midst. This is a promise from our Lord and Savior. We should receive Him in our presence by faith. Knowing that He is in our midst right now, we come to this place to worship Him. And we should expect something to happen. You ever come to church thinking, wonder what's going to happen now? In a good way? I've been to churches where I was, wow, what's going to happen next? Give me some popcorn. Right? But no, come with an expectation that Jesus is going to do a work inside of you today. He's going to change some aspect of you. He's going to point out something you need to do better, and He's going to point out something you've been doing really well. Right? Come with that expectation so that you can notice it, so that you can pay attention to it. We should expect something to happen. All right? The next atmosphere is... I don't know if this is really an atmosphere. We have a supernatural God. He's uncommon, okay? He's not ordinary God. Come expecting and come with the right attitude. The Lord responds to our faith and our prayers. Our faith moves God. And it works every time. There's a supernatural element that's set into motion when we, in faith, expect something fantastic to happen. When we direct our faith towards God, He'll surprise you. But that means you can't put limitations on yourself, on your neighbor, or on God. Okay? We can't say, well, I am just a terrible sinner, so I can't do that. Right? We can't look at each other like, well, I know they did in 1990. July 3rd, I remember. Wrote it down on my Rolodex. Because they did that. No! He throws our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. If He can do that, why are you holding on to it? Don't hold on to yours, don't hold on to your neighbor's. Let it go. I'm not singing, but it's a song. Let it go. Okay? Don't put those... Rahab was a prostitute. Okay? But she's listed in Hebrews 11 as the spiritual giants. If she can be used by God, so can you. Just realize there's this supernatural God that can do whatever He wants to do, whenever He wants to do. You may as well be here knowing that and expecting Him to do it. Okay? Sorry, I just combined points. So moving on. An atmosphere of communion. An atmosphere of communion. What does communion mean to you? To me, it means being together. All right? We come here to be together with our family and with our Lord. You guys ever have those awkward Thanksgiving conversations with your family members? You ever got that? Okay, so I'll tell all my family because they're not here. It was always questionable what my grandma was going to say to you. Let me tell you, it was always honest, but not always necessary. Okay. early on in my life, you get in high school and you want your girlfriend to come to Thanksgiving, you bring her over. And your grandma snatches her up, and looks her up and down. It's like, you're skinny. Won't you? Get over here and eat. What's the matter? Grandma, shut up. Right? But that's what we do. We come together as a dysfunctional family, and we come into communion with one another. Okay? We're not all the same people. We're going to have that person in our body that's like, you just kind of want to be like, shh. Right? There's those people. If it ain't true, I won't say it. Right? I did get that from my grandma. Anyway, do you get what I'm saying? As we're not all the same. We're not always going to get along, but we're still family, and we come together, and we leave that out there, and when we come inside here, We praise and worship as one. Because we're in communion with Him. We're in communion with Him. All right. What about an atmosphere of vision? Where people can see the invisible and do the impossible. One of the I guess I was considered agnostic before I was Christian because I asked a lot of questions. It wasn't that I didn't believe in God. I just needed some proof. You know, and one of the things I would say to people is like, how in the world can you believe in something you'll never see? And I'll tell you what, a pastor said this to me. He's like, okay, take this fork. It's like, okay. He's like, walk over there to that light socket, and I need you to stick that in there. I was like, dude, what's the matter with you? He goes, stick it in there. Like, no. He's like, why not? I said, I'll get shocked. He goes, how do you know? You can't see electricity. But it's most definitely there, isn't it? Yeah. I'm a little kid. It blew my mind. I wasn't a little kid. I was in my 20s. But something so simple. So now I tell people that all the time. Like, you can't see electricity, but you still believe it's there, right? Equally as powerful, actually way more powerful than electricity, is our God. Amen. And He is present here. Oh, gosh. So we need to be able to believe in the invisible and the impossible. Even though, so we can't see this happening. I'm one of those guys kind of playing the next step. You know, life's a little bit of a chess game for me. And I want to know where we're going. And it's really hard for me to let go and know that the invisible will do the impossible with my probable. Right? So I got this probability set out. I'm like, I'm probably going to be able to achieve this goal. But then He has His own will. And He's like, nah, I'm going to do this. And then we're going to turn right. I was not going to get past it. Okay? I went swimming with a police officer. Right? Was a police officer. He let me do it for a little bit. I got to do it for a little bit. And then he said, you know what? You're done. I need you now to speak for me. And I need you to use your life and your experiences to better my church. That was not what I was going to do. What was I going to do? I was going to be a police officer for 25 years. I was going to retire. Then I was going to go teach in college. Had it set out. But the invisible God did the impossible in my life. He does that with you each and every day. He will take your plans and alter them and tick you off sometimes. My gosh, did I want to preach? No. No, I even told him that. He's like, I don't want to do this. There's people there, and I can't lock them up. Right? I did argue with him. I had these arguments with God, and I'm sure He's laughing at me. Because every time I tell him, and I said this, and I'm going to go to Africa one day. I said, I'm not going to Africa as a missionary. Done. So I'll mail y'all when I get there. Right? Who knows what He's going to do? I quit making long-term plans like that. But I have this vision, and I know that He's going to do something great if I allow Him. And we need to have that expectation. We need to be able to allow Him to do a work with us. Don't limit our God. And don't limit yourself. When you start doing that, you start stymieing His will. And please don't stop His will. Because He'll go right around you, and it'll probably hurt. Because He goes over most people. Right? Jesus, in His earthly ministry, He did many wonderful things. He healed the sick, made the blind to see, caused the deaf to hear, made the lame to walk, turned water into wine, fed 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Walked on water, spoke to the winds, and they ceased. He even raised the dead. You ever feel like the apostles, you know, or the disciples, they came to Him and they're like, send these people away. They're hungry. He's like, feed them. Okay. I got 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. There are 5,000 men here. Right? And I eat enough for 2 men. So just think about that.
5,000 men here. What am I going to do with two fish and five loaves? He took what you had and did the impossible. That's what he's going to do here. He will take what you have if you give it to him and do the impossible with it. But it all starts with our atmosphere. It all starts with kind of our attitude about it. If we give it to him, he'll use it. If we keep it, he won't. That little boy that brought the fish to the disciples, had he not given it to them, he wouldn't have been able to use it. Would not have been able to use it.
He didn't say, well, this is my lunch, and I'm going to eat it. He said, this is what I have. I hope it helps. Here's what I have. I hope it helps. There's a bunch of us sitting here in this church this morning saying, this is my time. I'm going to stop saying my because I say I a lot different than y'all. But this is mine. I'm holding it. This is mine. God can't have it, and you certainly can't have it. Let me ask you why. Why? Why don't you want to give everything that he gave you back? Guys, it shouldn't be really hard to get... shouldn't be hard to get two people on one Sunday morning to stand at a door and say, good morning, glad to see you. It shouldn't be hard to get people to hold the communion trays and say, hey, like the bread and the cup. It shouldn't be hard to get someone to push the down arrow on a computer so that we can have words. These things are easy. It shouldn't be hard, but it comes with our atmosphere. See, we are in an entitled atmosphere, aren't we? Someone will do that for me because I deserve it. Not necessarily just our church, but I'm saying in our world in general right now, someone will do that because it needs to get done. Not, I should help do that because it needs to get done. See the change in the atmosphere there a little bit? What did we change? We changed the attitude. We changed the expectation of other people. Now, as you begin to serve or you begin to grow in your spiritual walk and such, people will expect you to do more. God expects different than what people expect. God expects you to do what he's asked you to do. So if he put it on your heart to say, hey, I need to serve in church, then he expects you to do that. I've just told you a few ways that we could help you out in that calling, right? And they're very simple. You don't have to have all this great biblical doctrine. You don't have to have gone to Bible college. I'm not telling you need to come up here and preach a thesis. What I'm asking you to do is be a hole plugger, right? If you don't plug the holes, the ship will sink. Okay? Our ship has little holes. Is it terrible? Is it easily fixed? Absolutely. Absolutely it is. These are not huge issues. We're not dealing with great spiritual conundrums here. All I'm doing is asking you to greet someone with a smile on your face. Can you do that? Can you do that? Can that be you? Can you fill that hole? I don't know. There are some people, and I was one of them, you didn't want at the door. If that's you, please tell me, hey, I shouldn't do that. I will put you up there where no one talks to you. Right? You can push arrow down. Blows my mind. That's the simplest thing ever. And Julie's always stuck up there. Give Julie a hand because she's always up there. This is a down arrow, y'all. All right, I digress. Anyhow, what did we learn today? The atmosphere is everything. Right? The atmosphere is everything. If you come in with a happy heart, happy mind, and are here focused on God,
and building relationships with one another, that's going to happen. If you come in here and you just want to sit back there closest to the doors and be entertained for a little bit and then go out, that will happen. Okay? You will know no one but yourself and me, I guess, because I talk to you this way. Okay? What I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to have a new attitude and a new atmosphere about yourselves. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about life in general. The way you view life. Are you a cup half empty or cup half full kind of person? I heard you. Brad said the cup's too big. But really, so if you're a cup half empty kind of person, can it just be half full? Put a little bit more in it than it's 3/4, and there's no denying it, right? That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to look at things just a little bit different. Just tweak just a little bit. Do not stretch to the point where you break. Don't dive all in and then burn out completely, okay? Sign up to do something. Sign up to bring me some socks for the Operation Christmas Child stuff. Sign up to say how you get up to people, to hang out bulletins. Push the button, do devotions. Whatever we need you to do, and that's just Sunday morning specific. That's not all the ministries of our church, okay? And as you get involved in those ministries, you know there's people there, right? There's other people. You will have communion with different people. You will form this community, okay? We won't any longer be candlewood. I hate Candlewood, by the way. If y'all live there, you're nuts. But I'm not preaching against Candlewood. They just got gates and they don't let people in. Like me when I want to go in there. You know how beneficial it would be to be able to cut through Candlewood? Anyhow. I'm teasing. But I'm saying, let's not be them. Let's not have our gates and our guards up, all right? Let's put them down. Let's get to know one another just a little bit better. Let's start going to Sunday school. Let's start doing some small groups with one another. Let's start meeting for coffee. Let's start doing a Bible study with someone. Okay? Let's not be a big group of individuals. Let's be a big group of worshipers. All right. I kicked the horse. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to just be in your presence and for you to be here with us. Lord, we praise your name for who you are and what you do in our lives. God, I pray this morning that you would give us a new attitude so that we can change our atmosphere for the better. Father, I pray that you would raise up servants for your church, that you would raise up those who could help make our worship for you excellent. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his perfection. We thank you for his grace. We thank you for his life and his death, his burial and his resurrection. We lift this prayer up in his name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to have the praise team come up. They're going to sing you another song. Remember last week when I told you, if you were here last week, I told you worship is interactive. It's not a spectator sport. Right? Praise and worship is not for spectators. If you came to watch, okay, you're not going to get much out of it. Let's sing to our God. Uninhibited. Let's sing to our Lord and Savior, the Creator of the universe. Let's give him our voices. I'm going to have what's left of the elders. Someone wants it. No, one of them is sick. Come up here, and I'll be up here to pray with you. Whatever's going on in your life, we're here for you. We want to share in your joys and lift you up in the sorrows. So we're here for you. You want to pray? We're here. You want to sing? Stand up.